Okay, Pax, you're all set. Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is creating. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm Pastor Katie, and I welcome you this morning to this service of worship at Tabernacle United Church. We are worshiping virtually, so though we're physically scattered from each other, we are gathered here together in this space to worship God, to worship the God of life and liberation, to remember who we are and to remember whose we are. And so I welcome each of us to this time, and I'm glad to be here this morning with all of you. I want to give a special welcome to visitors. If you are here for the first time, we're glad you're here. Thank you for taking the step into this space, not knowing all the details of what will happen here. We know that that can be a risk to be in a new place in a new community of faith. So thank you for taking that risk and for being here. And we hope this service is meaningful to you. If you'd like to connect or want to just introduce yourself, you can do that through the chat feature. You're welcome to say your name, share anything you'd like with us, and we'd love to welcome you. You can also email me. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to email me, my email address is in front of you on the screen, tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. I want to share just a couple announcements. First, I want to share just another word of welcome to someone who many of us know, other folks are new to us, but we want to give a special welcome to Jean Bernard Surin, who is here with us this morning. And many of you know Jean Bernard. He actually was on staff at TAB as a singer in 2010 and 2011, right before he left Pennsylvania to get his DMA in Michigan. And he currently has a music group, Duo 1717, that has rehearsed at TAB over the years. And he is currently an assistant professor of voice at Lincoln University in Southern Pennsylvania. And in his words, he says, "This congregation prayed me through that transition to Michigan and is truly a special place to me." And so thank you for those words, John Bernard. And we want to give you a warm welcome and are also so grateful to see you again and to have you here, and also so blessed to hear your voice and your gifts. So thank you and welcome. Just a couple other announcements. I want to remind us that we are in stewardship season. October is the month of stewardship at TAB. And so we want to be, our theme this year is Be Thou My Vision, Creating a Community of Justice. And so I want to encourage each of us this month especially, we should be doing this all year round, but this month especially, to be prayerfully considering and reflecting on the gifts that you would like to give and share with this particular community. What are the gifts that God has given you that you want to share and offer to build up this community? Because we are a community of faith. We need each other. And so in this time, I want to invite you to do that by, you can fill out, the best way to do that is to pray and then to fill out the time and talent form. And Shell is going to put that form in the chat box, so you can copy and paste that if you want to fill that out. Also, if you want to email, everything is virtual this year, so we're asking you to fill out the form as well as email your pledge to tabstewardship@gmail.com. So consider those things, and please pray and reflect on ways that you can give here at TAB. There are some areas, some roles and teams that we are in special need of help. So we are sending those teams and roles out to you through email. And so take a look at those as well, because there are some areas that we could really use some help and leadership around. So please be considering those things. Finally, I want to remind us that today our caucus groups are meeting. So the White Caucus Group we'll meet today at 11:45, as well as the BIPOC caucus group, Black Indigenous People of Color group. And so if you have not received information about that, would like to get involved in one of those groups, just let us know. You can put your name in the chat and we will follow up with you, or you can send me an email and we'll make sure you get connected. All right, we're going to move on now. We're going to transition. So I invite us to quiet our hearts. Let us worship God and be together in this holy time.
Please join me in the call to worship. Beloved, come into this space to worship. Come to find companionship for this journey and solidarity for this struggle. God has blessed us with life, with faith, and with community. In love and joy, we gather together. We are called by God to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be of service to the lowly and share in Christ's love, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. We gather this morning to remind each other of that, to remember that now is always the right time to do these things. We bring our offerings to God, our songs, our hearts, our prayers, our lives. In community, we gather to remember the way. Let us worship God. Let us worship God with the fullness of our being.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing some songs of worship together this morning, starting with Ready for Action, which is a repurposed song that we've taken from Imagine Dragons with new words to help us as a community get ready for action for justice in our world. Let's sing together. Waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back. I'm learning more, I'm stepping up and finding power in God's love. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice making whole. God is here in this place. Here in this place. God is here in this place. Here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. I'll make a vow and say a prayer to serve God's people everywhere. Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice making whole. God is here in this place. Here in this place. God is here in this place. Here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Whoa. Ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, whoa, I'm ready for action, ready for action. Amen. This next song was based on a sermon by Pastor Katie, and the idea that Jesus knows our pain because he walked among us on the earth. Let's sing together. It matters to me that Jesus was born. He entered the world as a little child. It matters to me that Jesus taught. He ate with the sinner and the defiled. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus hears us. Does he know our pain? Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from suffering he arose. Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again. Amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. It matters to me that Jesus doubted on the cross. He called out to God. And when I wonder if Jesus hears us, my soul sings this reply. Yes, Jesus knows. Jesus knows, Jesus knows, and he's calling us to live again. Amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. Jesus knows.
Let us pray. God of love and mercy, greet us with grace this day, for we need you. Though we may be frantic with activity and anxious in our thoughts, our efforts do not yield peace, peace as only you can give. In this holy hour, help us be still and hear your voice. Today, help us be still enough to feel your touch. Help us to find that place where we can receive as well as give, wait as well as act, and listen as well as speak. Our whole world needs your peace. Let us come before you and learn your ways, laying down our weapons and renewing our minds and hearts. Come to us now through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us pray together the prayer of confession. God, we confess we have conformed to this world. We confess the ease with which we become conformed to the world's standards rather than facing the challenge of conforming to those of Christ. We confess how easy it is to concentrate on our own pleasures, taking note of the plight of many in the world only as the news momentarily grabs our attention. We confess our capacity to be so consumed by our own agendas that our concern for the needs of others shrinks all too rapidly. We confess the difficulties we experience in living as you lived and loving as you loved. You call us to love and serve others, but we cling to our self-interest and small-mindedness. Forgive our conformity and transform us, O God. You would not ask us to do this work if you did not have faith in us. We ask you to send us energy and determination. Help us to find our own way into the life of non-conformity that you ask us to live. Stir up your spirit in us, God, that we may experience the happiness and blessing of being your disciples in more than name only. Give us some holy strength. Send us some joyful hope. Hear these words of assurance. Hear these words and let them take root in your heart and mind. We can transform this life. This is the good news. Through the transformation of ourselves, we can transform the world. The healing, repair, and transformation of the world is our responsibility as people of faith. God grants us grace and love that passes all understanding. Allow that love to shape our hearts to be like Jesus's heart so that we can heal and reorder the world with justice, peace, and love. Jesus, lover and friend, you showed us holiness in action through the way you lived your life. You gave away your power in the service of others and turned our understanding of blessedness on its head. Siblings, God is at work in us and with us. It's not money but our generosity with it. It is not power, but our willingness to humble ourselves. It is not only our efforts, but Christ's gift, which transforms us into God's children. It is more than just how we think. In mercy and grace, our hearts, our lives, our spirits are transfigured and made new. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Because we are set free in Jesus, I invite you to sing a song of praise together, Rain Down.
Let's take a moment to greet one another and pass the peace of Christ. Let's receive that peace from Christ and pass it to one another. So you can unmute yourself and go. If you go to gallery view, you can see the rest of the community. So let us greet one another. Peace be with all of you.
Good morning. Peace be with everyone.
Peace be with you. Good morning.
Peace,
Pastor Katie.
Peace, Erica.
Peace. Peace, Oscar. Peace.
There we go. Peace. Hi, Suzanne. Give me a second to figure out how to unmute. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mommy. Fletcher. How you doing, Fletcher? Good to see you.
Hello.
Hey, Rose.
Peace to you, Levi and Jennifer.
Lisa, mom says hi.
Hi, Laura.
Say hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hey, Mike.
You see my hair?
Mike.
I see it.
Peace, Jimmy and Fanny. Hi.
Don't forget.
Michael, you ain't got no hair.
No, I don't like a chocolate.
You look good.
Deb Behrens with.
I need a passport picture.
Hi, Barb Purdom. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Auntie Laura.
Aww.
So cute. Hi, Auntie Laura.
Where's Auntie Laura?
I
don't see her.
Hi, Wendy and Justin.
Hi,
Elizabeth Kingfield. Hi.
Morning.
Hi. Morning.
Glad to see you smiling.
And Martha and Ken. Peace be with you. Uh-oh.
Sorry, Susan, I think you're on mute.
Thank you, Pax. The first scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2 and 9 through 16a. Hear these words. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite children and the young at heart to come closer to their screen and to hear the children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning. Last week, Lucinda talked about stories in children's time. She told us that most people love stories. And she also said that Jesus loved stories, especially stories about people who were being kind to each other. So I found this story about two people who were kind and who helped each other out. Not too long ago, there was a woman, let's call her Trish, who did not have a job. She didn't have a place to live, and she was also often sick. And she had even more troubles. She couldn't read or write very well, and that made her feel very bad about herself. Maybe you know someone in school who can't read very well, someone who feels bad. Sometimes people who can't read keep it a secret because they're very ashamed. Trish didn't tell people she couldn't read very well until one day she was in a grocery store. She saw a big sign that said, "We are hiring." That means they wanted people to work at the grocery store. She knew that meant that she could ask for a job, but she was afraid. She saw a woman with a name tag that said Joan and manager. She knew that managers could hire people to work in the store, but she was still afraid to talk to her. Finally, she asked Joan about getting a job. Trish had to do something called an application. She had to type things into a computer to get that job. Joan was very friendly. So Trish didn't feel too scared about asking her for help with the computer. When they finished, a message came up that said, hired. That means she got the job. Trish and Joan were both very happy. So Trish worked at the grocery store and she did very well. She was able to find a place to live and every day she feels a little bit happier. She would often say, thank you, to Joan. And Joan would say, thank you, because you help me every day. So the two of them are helping each other by being kind. I think Jesus would be very happy to hear this story. So let's end with a little prayer. Jesus, when someone near us is sad or lonely, please help us understand how to help them. Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
This morning, I'm so grateful to have John Bernard Sarin with us, and I'm so excited for the music that he's going to share. So I'll pass it over to you, John Bernard.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here in this virtual format. How we have grown together over the years. I'm delighted to share this song with you this morning entitled Grief by William Grant Still. For those of you who may not be aware, William Grant Still is sometimes referred to as the Dean of African American composers. Early 20th century guy. Went to Oberlin University, and this song is particularly poignant. I've sung it throughout my career because it reminds me to lift my head up. Weeping angel, with your pinions trailing and head bowed low in your hands. Mourning angel, silence your wailing for one who in death's hall stands. The white dove promise stands. I've known a lot of grief in my life. This song meant a lot to me in 2010 when there was the earthquake in Haiti. And I recall singing it at an event, just thinking about all the people that had died. And 2020 reminds me a lot of 2010, when there's just a lot of death around in the society, but promise still stands.
Weeping angel, with pinions trailing and head bowed low in your hands, mourning angel, with heartstrings wailing. Weeping angel. heartstrings wailing for one who in death's halls stand. Morning angels, silence your wailing and raise your head from your hand. Weeping angel on your pinions trailing, the white dove
we were together in person, we would be applauding right now and just giving thanks on hearing. I'm just imagining hearing us all breathe in and give great thanks for those, for that beautiful song. Thank you, Jean Bernard. Amazing. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 13. Let us hear these words from the Apostle Paul, who is writing while he is himself in prison. He's writing to this community of faith in Philippi. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, the Father and Mother and Parent. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you join me now in prayer? Gracious God, we give thanks to you for this day and for this sacred gathering of your people. Thank you for the ability to connect, to hear and to listen, to learn, to speak. God, I ask that you would be with us in this moment. I ask that you would be with me as I share from my heart. I ask that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Thank you. And we commit ourselves and this time to you. Amen. So this sermon this morning is part two in our sermon series this fall on discipleship. Discipleship is maybe a word that's new to you. If it is, I want to just say very briefly that discipleship means simply being a student or being a follower. And specifically for Christians, it means being a follower of Jesus, being a student of Jesus. And not just in, this is important, not just in an individualistic sense, but as Christians, we are always to remember that discipleship is not something we do alone. As a church, we are always called to follow Jesus in community. So solo is a no-go for Christians, in other words. We are always in this together and as a community. So throughout this series on discipleship, we are going to explore, among other things, some of the formational practices that can help us be together in community and help us be steady in our discipleship in this time. And we need those formational practices because we have to realize that to follow Jesus is to conform our lives to Jesus is to become also nonconformists to empire and to be resistant in the ways of empire. So we're going to be delving into these practices in the weeks to come. And I want to spend some time on that. But for now, this morning, I'd like to spend a little bit more time on the important question that we raised last week, because I feel like it needed a little bit more unpacking. And I wanted to kind of continue to dig into that question because it's so important to discipleship. And that is, which Jesus are we following? Which Jesus are we following? Now, you might be thinking, I thought there was only one Jesus. I thought there was only one. What do you mean, which Jesus? And that's a fair question because, yes, we are talking just about one Jesus. We're talking about that brown-skinned Palestinian Jew who lived in first century Palestine, that Jesus. And yes, there are varying interpretations of this Jesus. There are lots of ways to talk about and understand and interpret who Jesus was, who he is, and what he means for us today. There are many ways of being the body of Christ. There are many faithful ways of being the body of Christ. But what I am talking about today is something else. When I'm asking us to consider which Jesus we are following, I'm not talking about so much how you and I might differ on some interpretation about what we believe about Jesus. I'm talking about something, a deeper and more troubling struggle that we have as North Americans in 2020. And it's about the prevalence of a form of Christianity and an image of Christ that is so twisted and misguided and is more interested in maintaining the status quo of white supremacy than it is embodying the gospel of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. It's about an image of Christ that has its roots in our history of Europeans using Christ's name to justify the subjugation, torture, and killing of Africans and Native Americans. There were slave ships that were called Jesus, that had the name Jesus on them. This is what I'm talking about, a deeply troubling aspect of our history. As we said last week, Frederick Douglass called this form of Christianity, where you could be Christian and hold and mistreat slaves at the same time, he called it slaveholder religion. Other Black theologians since then have called it the Christianity of the white Christ, which is telling, isn't it? Because whiteness is actually a construction. Whiteness was created over against Blackness, in opposition to Blackness. And so the white Christ is a construction of Christ that is not based in the gospel at all. It is more based on self-interest and greed and maintaining power over others. It is a false Christ, the white Christ. And yet we know, because this is the power of whiteness, we know even though it's false and it's a construction, it is powerful in how it functions in our world. And so the white Christ is powerful in how it functions in our world. Theologian Kelly Brown Douglas says that according to accounts by enslaved people, the Christian slaveholder was much worse than the non-religious slaveholders. She quotes Frederick Douglass in her book called The Black Christ. She says, and Frederick Douglass says this, "I should regard being the slave of a religious master the greatest calamity that could befall me. For all slaveholders with whom I have ever met, religious slaveholders are the worst. I have found them the meanest, the basest, most cruel, and cowardly of all others." Kelly Brown Douglas asks, why? Why was this the case? Why is this the case? Her answer is the white Christ. And then she explains two main characteristics of the white Christ. The white Christ, first of all, and we talked a little bit about this last week, the white Christ is based on an understanding of salvation that is automatic and easy. Automatic and easy. So Jesus only cares about our eternal status, the eternal status of your soul in the afterlife. This understanding of Jesus, remember, takes Jesus out of the world and locks him, in effect, in heaven, so that he's only concerned with us getting there. And he does, and it doesn't take much for you to get there. Tickets are cheap, automatic, easy to get to heaven. Second of all, characteristic of the white Christ, it's related to the first, a disregard for the liberating ministry that he embodied here on earth. Again, if you take Jesus out of this world, make him only concerned about your soul status in heaven, his liberating actions among the poor don't matter so much and certainly don't demand a standard for Christian behavior. In contrast, Kelly Brown Douglas says, is the black Christ of the enslaved. The black Christ of the enslaved is the Christ whose ministry and relationship to the oppressed was central to who he was and central to who he is today. Remember from last week's text when Jesus said and claimed that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, freedom for the oppressed. That was interpreted and understood as now, as here on earth, starting here on earth. The black Christ is based on an understanding that God entered the world, took the form of an enslaved person. God entered the world in human form, taking on the body of one who was among the oppressed and despised of his time. Jesus was and is black, because the suffering of slavery and the suffering of the cross were one and the same thing. One and the same thing. And so redemption and resurrection is also then understood as a power that is about liberation beginning in the here and now. And yes, on into the future, but beginning in the here and now. I was thinking about this, the difference between the white Christ and the black Christ, between slaveholder religion, between the Christianity of Christ, as Frederick Douglass talks about. And I was remembering back to January of this year, which feels like such a long time ago. This year has been really wild. But I was remembering back to January this year, as some of you may remember, I flew to Georgia to be with a friend of mine who was facing execution in Georgia by the state. I'm so grateful to say to you this morning, for if you didn't know already, that Jimmy, the guy I was visiting and was sitting with who was facing his execution, is alive today. He was transferred to another prison. He got clemency. It was a remarkable experience, and I'm so thankful that he's doing relatively well. But at the time when I sat with him in prison, we were preparing for his death. He was scheduled to be executed the next day. And I was sitting with his mother and his son and his grandkids. And I remember we were sitting there and we were talking, and Jimmy's mother was talking about recent news And she said that lawmakers were likening President Trump's impeachment proceedings to the crucifixion of Christ. That people were saying, one lawmaker put it this way, Jesus was treated more fairly before Pontius Pilate than Trump was during his impeachment. I remember the moment so well. She was talking about this and there was kind of a pause after she shared that. And then she said, this is Jimmy's mom, a registered Republican. She said, her son is on death row. And she said, Trump can be likened to Jesus, but how come nobody can see the connection between my son being like Jesus, even though he is facing execution by the state, just like Jesus did. And I remember that moment. It was such a powerful moment for me and a reminder to me really about the reality of the white Christ and the black Christ, and that for many people, because the power of the white Christ and slaveholder religion is so strong, it's easier to see the connection between Jesus and an elite, rich white man than it is to see Jesus in the body of Jimmy on death row. It's sad to say this, but I know it's true, that white supremacy has done a very good job at discipling us. If we can't see Jesus on death row, if we can't see Jesus in the face of George Floyd, or in the face of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, of Dominique Remy Fels, if we can't see the face of Jesus in those people, then we are being discipled by the white Christ. We are captivated by the white Christ. And so it's a struggle. We are in this struggle. It's such a strong force in our world and in our culture. And so we have to wrestle with this question, which Jesus are we following? Because the integrity of the gospel, I believe, the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ is at stake. We're not talking about just varying interpretations. No, we're talking about the integrity of the gospel. And so we have to get clear on which Jesus we're following, and we're going to need to leave one to follow the other, because there is a pretty stark difference between the white Christ and the black Christ, between slaveholder religion and the Christianity of Christ. And I believe our journey as Christians into discipleship in 2020 is a journey that involves letting go of the white Christ, of leaving and letting go of slaveholder Christianity, and learning to fall in love, embrace, and follow the Black Jesus of the Gospels. I believe that is what discipleship is about. That's the movement. Now, the text in Philippians, if you can just hang on for just a minute, I know I'm talking a lot. I really want to get to our Philippians text because it's important. This text we read this morning, if you have a Bible and you look at this text, many Bibles will format verses 6 to 11 differently. If you look at your Bibles, 6 to 11 will be kind of in a different shape. And that's because those few verses are considered to be part of an old Christian hymn, one of the earliest Christian hymns we have written down. So old that it predates Paul's writing. So this is something that was probably shared orally and sung among the early Christians, but Paul uses it here in this text. And it might be just a portion of the hymn, but it's very old. So we know that this hymn was formational, was kind of a core for Christian, early Christian followers. It was almost like a statement of faith, like saying, this is us, this is what we believe. And if you notice in this hymn that's about Jesus, which is considered one of the oldest Christian hymns we have, if you notice, listen to the first stanza about this early Christian belief about Jesus. Paul says, quoting the hymn, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's the first stanza. And then the second one kind of goes into how God raised up Jesus and is talking about the resurrection. This first part is about Jesus's obedience and death on a cross. But part of what this is getting at is this core conviction of that's related to Christianity that distinguishes Christianity from all other religions, and that is the incarnation of God. That God took the form of a human being. And it is not just about that God took a form of a human being, but in this hymn, it says God took the form of a slave, of an oppressed human being. And this, Paul talks about in other places, is the scandal of the gospel. It is scandalous. It is scandalous because God is taking on flesh to become one with the lowly of our world. Lowly in the Bible just refers to those who are oppressed. Remember Mary, when she sings, she says, she refers to herself and her people as the lowly. God has come to lift up the lowly, Mary says. So this very early Christian hymn makes clear that Jesus would not compromise his absolute identification with the crucified class of his time. This is the core of this early Christian hymn, and it is the good news, and it is core to our faith. And Paul is teaching here that this commitment that Jesus had, this self-giving love, his solidarity, is now ours to emulate. Have the same mind among you as was in Christ Jesus. This is where I think discipleship begins, with the scandal. This scandal of the incarnation, where God takes on not just human form, but the form of an oppressed human being, and then asks us to have the mind of Christ, to never compromise our identification with the crucified class of our day. So part of the importance, part of discipleship, I think, is really to continue to ask, who are the crucified in our midst? Where are the crucified? Can we practice letting go in this time of learning about discipleship? Can we practice letting go of the white Christ, who doesn't demand anything from you? Who doesn't demand anything from you? Let go of the white Christ and follow instead the black Christ, who calls us to stand with the crucified, to give of ourselves in love, to resist oppression and violence, and to take on the joy and the cost of discipleship. I think in the midst of all that is going on, I feel like I end all my sermons that way, in the midst of all that's going on, because there is so much that we are holding and carrying these days, and I want to encourage us to keep steady, to keep remembering who it is we are following, and to remember that Jesus walks with us and has come. And as Pax has so beautifully written, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. So I want to encourage us in these days to help each other, to keep our eyes steadfast on the vision of God's reign and the call to be faithful in following the black Jesus in this time. And we'll explore in the coming weeks some practices, some formational practices on how we can continue to do that. Amen. Amen.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time enough. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. Great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Pax, for your beautiful music, like always. And my name is Priscilla, and it says on the bulletin, stewardship testimonial. So that's what I'm here to talk about. I am a new member of CAB. I joined CAB, and I am brace and taking seriously the notion of stewardship, because I feel that this is a community that is actively working together to discern what it means to be a positive force, following the example of Jesus Christ in a world where so much feels broken and in need of repair. In the year or so that I have been coming and worshiping at CAB, I have always felt so welcome. And I think what really, I tend to be a solo, I think what convinced me that solo is a no-go is that I see a community that really treats one another according to the beliefs and the values that it professes. And I think, in my experience, that's unusual and needs to be more usual. And so that is something that I personally want to support and invest in. And it's the ways that we can exercise our privilege of stewardship are on the bulletin by giving electronically or also mailing your contribution to the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Priscilla. And we're so glad you're now a part of the Tabernacle community. Now is the time to talk about our offering.
Today, our offering will be given to a special mission of the United Church of Christ called Neighbors in Need. And I'm going to read you a little bit about what Neighbors in Need for the United Church of Christ is about. It supports ministries of justice and compassion throughout the United States. One third of the Neighbors in Need funds support the Council for American Indian Ministry. Two thirds of this offering is used by the UCC's Justice and Witness Ministries to support a variety of justice initiatives, advocacy efforts, and direct service projects through grants. Neighbors in Need's grants are awarded to UCC churches and to organizations doing justice work in their communities. These grants fund projects whose work ranges from direct service to community organizing to advocacy to address systemic injustice. This year, special consideration will be given to projects focusing on serving our immigrant neighbors and communities. To contribute to Neighbors in Need, you can use the link that is shown on in your bulletin, right in front of you. Neighbors in Need, https://www.ucc.org/NIN. Or, as Priscilla said, you can give electronically by texting any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute. Please give as you are able.
Out of the smoke, out of our night of struggle, can we see a ray of hope? One pale thin ray, beating for the day, we can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city. Not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. We may not reach the end, but we can start slowly but truly mending brick by brick, heart by heart. Now, maybe now, we start learning how we can build beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city. Not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. When your heart is all but shattered, when your faith
is all but killed. You can give up bitter and battered, or you can slowly start to build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but finally a city of man. A city of man.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Gracious God, please receive these gifts. We pray that you will lead us to do your work here in this world today, to resist oppression and violence. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I am going to invite us now into our time of sharing. So we want to open up this virtual space right now for some intentional sharing around with our prayers. So if you would like to lift up what's on your heart, you can do that now through the chat box. You can share a joy or a concern or a testimony. All of us are welcome to use that function to reflect on the service and to bring our joys and struggles and other prayer concerns before God and our community. And one of the things we remember in this time is that we've said this a couple times now, solo is a no-go, and prayer is one of the ways that we remember that. We ask for prayer because we know we can't carry things on our own, and that we lift up our prayers to God and for the rest of the community to be holding and carrying with us. And the same is with our joys. We want to share our joys and celebrate that together and celebrate our joys in community together. So this is an important part of our time as we share. So please feel free to do that now in the chat box, and I'll just wait a few moments and then read what comes through. So let's take a few moments to lift up our hearts. And if you don't have something to share, this can also just be a time for you to receive and to lift up the prayers of other people. So let us share what's on our hearts. From Lucinda. Prayers for our white caucus group. May we be honest, be open, and do the work of discipleship together. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Deb Burnham. John Bernard, thank you for your powerful and exquisite singing. What a gift to us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Prayers for a friend who is in need of an intestinal transplant and is in a lot of pain. Thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gina. My nephew and his partner were blessed with the birth of a child yesterday named Montana Luis Echevarria. I hope I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce that right, but amen. And we are grateful to celebrate the life of Montana. Welcome to this world. Thank you, Gina. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Arda, prayers for the Armenian inhabitants of Artsakh who are holding on to their homes. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And that prayer above, I think, was from Anna, not from Gina. Thank you. From Gwyneth, thanks to everyone in this community for welcoming me and filling my soul with such important words and beautiful music. Prayers that the message stays with me and continues with action in the world. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jim Gerhardt, prayers for Helen May, whose building is experiencing an influx of workers from renovations. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jean Bernard, prayers for my uncle Fritz, who is in the hospital. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jim Gerhardt, prayers for Todd Kozer, whose medical procedure was postponed by the hospital. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris Purdom, today is coming out day. We would normally have a table at Outfest for all the people stuck in today without community, unable to express themselves. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Carmen, let us pray for the hungry, homeless veterans. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From the Klein-Keen family, 10 years ago last Friday, my son Tristan died, and I want to thank God and all of you for helping our family get through that incredibly difficult time. Tab made an indelible impression on our souls. Thank you all. Prayers for all of you and the support you provide. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Leah, or from Verona, I think that's from Verona Stern. Please pray for all those who are helping to ensure that all those who choose to vote are able to do so. I also want to pray for those helping others to get their voices heard by their volunteerism. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And just a edit there to Carmen's prayer earlier. Let us pray for the hungry homeless veterans and our community. Thank you, Carmen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Alicia, prayers, please, for my ongoing job search and the virtual interviewing process. Yes. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Erica Helt, my 7-year-old daughter is struggling in school because of major anxiety over spending nights at dad's house away from home. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you to all who shared through this way. And from Donald Wargo, prayers for a peaceful presidential election. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you to all who shared in this chat format the prayers of your heart. And we lift up also the silent ones that are on our heart that remain with us here. So in these next moments, as we sing together, let us lift up these prayers together and let us share one another's burdens and remember to share our burdens with God, who is carrying us and carrying them. Let us sing together.
Children pray, Lord, send
Oh God, what a gift to be gathered here in your presence, right where we are, in our homes, in our own living spaces. You are here. You are here. And you are present in this virtual space, in this community gathering of your children. Thank you, God, for your presence that is so exemplified in community and in the sharing in community of love and understanding and of reciprocity and giving and receiving. We thank you, God, for the gift of being together and for all that we have experienced and been given from your hand. God, we ask for the strength to continue in these days ahead. Help us to live in gratitude. Help us to move with a clear vision of your reign in front of us. Help us be steady in this walk of discipleship. Be with us, God, and help us to know and experience your presence in some powerful ways in these days ahead. Thank you for all the prayers that have been shared. Thank you that you hear them, God. We lift them up to you. We lift up to you the prayers that have been spoken and the ones that remain on our hearts. And we thank you for Jesus who taught us to pray. And so let us pray together this prayer. If you don't know it by heart, you can read it in front of you on the screen. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus knows, Jesus knows, and he's calling us to live again, amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows, Jesus knows.
Friends, as you go into this week, I want to remind you that you do not go alone, but that the Black Jesus is walking with you and is by your side. Let us walk into this week and into this time steadfast, knowing that the vision in front of us is a vision of God's reign of justice and mercy. So let's go and hold on fast to that vision and to be there for each other, be community for each other as we walk together. Go in peace to serve God, to serve your neighbor, and to serve creation. Amen.